Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1. Well, it ain't going to be too long. We'll get through this chapter, won't we? Amen. Lord willing. I've enjoyed it. I hope you have. And it's been a blessing. We're going to begin reading. We left off in verse 12 last week, where Paul said, "But I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." The truth of the matter is, there's a lot of things in life we don't understand. And Paul was afraid that the brethren wouldn't understand that God could take all this that looks so bad and do something good with it. Amen. Bring something good out of it. Amen. And I think it's a wonderful thing when the Lord works in life like He did in Paul, like He did in Joseph's life, like He did in Daniel's life, like He did in the lives of the three Hebrew children, and that the world and society and wickedness has meant for evil, God can turn it around and make good out of it. And I love that. Amen. And we should always remember that in our lives. Amen. We might be laying in the hospital. We might be undergoing some kind of test. We might have our mouth wide open in the dentist chair trying to get some drilling and filling done, stuff like that. You know what I mean? But God can use all of that stuff in our lives for His honor and for His glory if we'll be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. The Bible said in verse 13, "So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." He said, "Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill." I learned something studying about this today that I never thought about, and I'll share it with you in a minute. In verse 16, the one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice. Boy, I got a blessing a while ago. That word rejoice. How many would like to take a guess which one of the words is used right there? Number one, remember the one, number one, jump up and down. Number two is to be calmly happy or to be well off. I wrote another little, it means to be glad. To be glad, to be calmly happy, to be well off. Well, number two is the one that's used there. I couldn't wait when I went back and read the text. I couldn't wait to look it up and see which word was used because it actually fits with what was going on Sunday. You know, he's in bonds. He's imprisoned. And it ain't time to jump up and down, amen. But it ain't time to have the mully grubs either, amen. He's got that calm peace, that sweet assurance about him. He's glad in the Lord. He said, "Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice." And he said, not only is that right now present going on in my heart and in my life, but it'll be going on in the future too. He said, "And will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." I'm going to stop right there, and we'll see how far we get tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, tonight for these that have gathered, Lord, to hear the Word of God. And thank you, Lord, for our young people tonight that are with us here in the auditorium. And I thank you, Lord, that, Lord, they have a desire to be in the house of God on Wednesday night. And I pray, Father, tonight that you'd bless them. I pray, God, you'd bless their outing on Friday. And I pray, Lord, tonight that you'd bless each and every one that's gathered, Lord, here tonight. And Lord, I ask you tonight, Lord, to make the Word of God real to us this evening and help us to see truth. That'll help us, Lord, another mile down the road for your honors and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The Apostle Paul, after he makes this statement here about the things which happened unto me, fallen out brethren. He talking to the brethren. He wanted the brethren to understand. He lights in on verse number 13, and he begins to explain that a little bit. He begins to elaborate on it. And he said in verse number 13, he said, so that my bonds in Christ. By the way, that's a big statement right there. Paul's bonds were not a result of wrongdoing. A lot of people, I think, I ran into this a lot in prison. They try to take application from Paul's life, but Paul's in prison for a whole different reason than they're in prison. Are you listening to me tonight? Amen. Paul's locked up here. His bonds are in Christ. His bonds are as a result of preaching Christ. His bonds are not as a result. His imprisonment is not a result of doing wrong, but it's a result of doing right. Amen. It's a result of an unwillingness in his life to calm down concerning the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see that all through the book of Acts too. Amen. They would beat them. They'd tell them not to speak anymore in that name. I tell you what, they'd just rejoice that they was worthy of a beating. Amen. And keep on preaching Jesus. And that's what Paul is doing here. He said, my bonds in Christ. Now, watch this now. He said, are manifest now in all the palace. And I think this is important tonight. What's going on here is the word has gotten out that this man's not locked up for raping somebody. He's not locked up for killing somebody. He's not locked up for stealing something. Amen. This man is locked up for preaching. He said, my bonds in Christ are now manifest. It's out in the open. Everybody knows why I'm here. Amen. Everybody knows what I'm accused of. And I think tonight that it's going to get good when we see the result of this tonight. The Bible said, my bonds in Christ are manifest not only in all the palace, and he said, and in all other places. I don't know how it got out, but let me show you something tonight. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Acts chapter 28, please, and verse number 16. I am enjoying the Word of God. Acts chapter 28 and verse number 16. Now, in verse number, I hope that's right. Okay, there it is. And when we came to Rome, in verse 16, the Bible said the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. Now that would have been after, you remember the big storm in Acts chapter number 27 and how that some, they wanted to kill the prisoners. Some of them did, but because of Paul, some said, no, let's not do that. Some of them floated in, some of them swam in on, and some of them on broken pieces of board. But the Bible said they all made it. Now watch this. When we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself. Watch this now. With a soldier that kept him. Now what about that? You say, preacher, what's the importance of that? I'm telling you that I believe this. I'm about to shout glory. I believe that this got out one man at a time. How many knows what I just said? How'd you like to be chained up to the Apostle Paul? Amen. How'd you like to be, maybe have an 8-hour shift watching the Apostle Paul? And I could just see him, Brother Ralph, when they come out there and the next guy's in line to go in there and guard him for his shift, shaking his head and saying, man, that guy beats all I've ever seen. Amen. I believe it got out in all the palace. And then the Bible said it, the palace couldn't contain it. Let me just say, I've said this for years. If real revival ever breaks out, there ain't no church going to contain it. Ain't no city going to contain it. Amen. It'll go, amen, wherever God wants it to go. And I believe that's what's going on right here with the gospel. Paul, I'm telling you. You could just hear him, brother. Brother Gale, you could hear him say something like this. You know, buddy, I used to do the same thing you're doing. I used to go down there and round them up, and I used to go down there and put handcuffs on them, and I used to take them in. I persecuted the church of the living God. I persecuted them Christians. By the way,
was on my way for another load. And something happened on the Damascus Road. Amen. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Every time that man of God opened his mouth, amen, he's talking about meeting Jesus. Amen. And I believe that this manifestation, listen, you say, preacher, what's that got to do with us? It's got everything to do with us. The gospel still needs to be manifested one life and one mouth at a time, just shared, amen, with somebody else until the gospel is in all the palace and then in all other places. I don't know. It's just, I like to let my mind go as far as inside the Word of God, amen. That I just believe that there was some, I can hear that soldier saying something like this, won't you shut up? You've talked long enough. Yeah, I could hear Paul saying, okay, buddy, I won't talk to you no more, dear God. Yeah. Amen. And then I could hear that soldier getting in a place, amen, where he'd say, won't you talk to me some more and quit talking to him? I ain't too comfortable around that. Amen. I just believe with all of my heart, amen, that it would have been one more experience to be chained up with the Apostle Paul anywhere. Amen. I got a letter the other day, a 5-page letter, front and back, 5 pages, and from an inmate that is in Frackville. Up in Pennsylvania, and the man loves the Lord. He's got 5 more years before he sees the pre-parole board. Now, anybody knows anything about prison knows that means he's going to be in there a long time. Amen. If he was seeing the parole board in 5 years, he's probably going to be in there a long time. He's going to see the pre-parole board. But you can read his letter. It's in there in my office. I'm telling you, you could read it. And there's not 1 ounce of negativity in it. There's no gloom and doom. Amen. The man has gotten saved by the grace of God. The man is trying to get others to Jesus. He told me in the letter, he said, the time is flying. I said, hallelujah. Amen. I wouldn't think that. Amen. But he said, the time is flying by. He said, our Lord is coming. And what we do, we got to do it quickly. Amen. For the glory. I believe Paul was the same way. I believe Paul understood his responsibility. There's evidence, points in this chapter, in these verses here, that some in the palace were converted. Let me show you. Look over, if you will, in Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 22. I believe it's 22. Yes. Paul is closing out the book of Philippians, and he says, all the saints salute you. I'm getting a dry throat here all of a sudden. He said, all the saints salute you. Watch this. He said, chiefly or especially they which are of Caesar's household. Y'all see that right there. It got out. Amen. It got out in the palace. It got out in all the places. And the gospel got out. And it's evident when Paul comes down to his benediction here in verse number 22. He said, all the saints salute you, chiefly they which are of Caesar's household. I believe there were some conversions. Amen. In the palace. That not only was the gospel preached, but somebody believed the gospel. I don't know about them soldiers, amen. But I want to think that maybe just like at the cross of Jesus, they didn't all get it, but one did. He said, truly, this man was the Son of God, amen. One got it, amen, and one was worth it all, amen. Now, we see here, if we go on down to verse number 14, not only were there many in the palace that had trusted Christ, but there were many in Rome and all other places that had trusted Christ. And I think that's important tonight. Now, look at verse 14 with me. Many of the brethren in the Lord, and there really is, the only way to be a brother outside of the Lord would be a natural brother. And Paul wanted us to know that he's talking about spiritual brothers. He said, waxing confident by my bonds are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now, let me ask you something tonight. Would it not be just logical or good common horse sense, otherwise known as stable thinking? Wouldn't it make sense tonight that if Paul is getting the word out from the inside out, that the brethren on the outside says, hey, if he can do it in there, we ought to be able to do it out here. In other words, they're waxing bold and they've got some confidence now. They've said, hey, yeah, they've locked him up, but they didn't stop him. Amen? They've locked him up, but they didn't stop him and they didn't stop the gospel. And it encouraged them. I use a phrase sometimes like a shot in the arm. Amen? It was like they said, man, we got to do this now. We need to do this. We've got confidence. We've got boldness. And we've got to get the word of God out. Amen. I believe tonight that the Lord is using and will use our church to continue to get the word of God out. But I tell you what really helps is every once in a while God lets us see some evidence. Amen. That the word of God will get the job done. Amen. I believe that tonight. Here in the Bible, Paul said, many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Can I say something tonight? There's a difference between boldness and arrogance. I believe our young people are with us tonight. I believe our young people need boldness. But I believe their moms and dads need boldness too. I believe their mamas and papas need boldness too. I believe sometimes, how many's ever heard something like this? Well, preacher, your family, finish that, is the hardest people in the world to witness. How many's ever heard a statement like that? Amen. And I know that's true. I know there's much truth in that. But I'll be honest with you tonight. If we're not bold with others, we certainly wouldn't be bold with our family. And I believe if we will be bold with the gospel and we can't reach our family, God will send somebody to reach our family. Amen? With the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he said, they're much more bold to speak the word without fear. Watch this now. How many remembers last Wednesday night we were in a discussion somewhat about Houston and what was going on in Houston in those six churches? You remember that last Wednesday night? Now there's been seemingly a huge turn of events since last Wednesday night. Am I right or am I wrong? Those people are recanting, they're retracting, amen. They're saying, no, we didn't mean to. I didn't know that the mayor of Houston was a sodomite. I didn't know that last Wednesday night when I was preaching. My wife told me that after church, amen. I didn't know that. I mean, you can figure something like that, but they're under attack. The churches were under attack. But let me say this tonight. Now those churches said, we will not. And they took their stand. Amen. Now let me say something tonight. Thank God they did. What if they had rolled over and played dead? How many knows they'd just keep rolling? I'm talking about the opposition. But what I'm saying tonight is, listen, they took their stand. The enemy backed off. And we ought to much more, be much more bold as a result of it. Amen. To speak the word of God without fear. And if somebody in Kingsport gets locked up for preaching the gospel and preaching the truth, for refusing to go around a certain text in the Word of God, and they get in trouble with the law, and we find out they're down there to prison, winning people to Jesus, and still have the joy of the Lord, and they're rejoicing. That ought to cause us to get about 6 inches taller on Sunday and say, let's preach and sing some more, amen, for the glory. They were waxed more bold. They didn't crawfish. They didn't back up. They stood up. Amen. For the cause of Christ. And I like that tonight. I like that. Paul, you see, he could have got down in there and he could have got down in the dumps. He could have got depressed. He could have gotten discouraged. And man, it could have had a huge impact. Let me say this to you tonight. He had a huge impact in a positive way. And all of us tonight, it's a lie of the devil to believe that we don't have an impact on somebody's life. Because we do. For right or for wrong, for righteousness or for unrighteousness, we do have an impact on somebody's life. So many were much more bold to speak the word of God without fear. Now look here in verse number 15. Paul said, some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. I never thought about this. I'm being honest with you. If I just read that right there, I never thought about this. The possibility, what he's talking about here, he said some preach Christ of envy and strife. Think about this for just a minute now. How many remembers when he was addressing the church at Galatia? Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? What were they trying to do? What were the Judaizers trying to do? They were trying to bring the Christians back under the law of Moses. How many remembers that now? A little bit about that. Amen. The book of Hebrews addresses that. That Christ is a better sacrifice. Christ is a better priesthood. It's all better when you get to Jesus than the old. Amen. Now, I think what may be going on here, and I didn't understand this. I wouldn't have seen this at face value. Some preach Christ even of envy and strife. Some could have seen it as an opportunity. Paul's locked up now. Amen? And so what we're going to do is we're going to preach our version. In other words, those little things that are, you know, and we differ on with Paul. You know, Paul's been trying to straighten us out, but he's in there now. He can't straighten us out. So we're going to try to get us a gathering. Amen. We're going to try to get them to follow us. Amen. Now, this will blow your mind tonight. How many understands tonight that every church in Kingsport, their doctrine does not line up with that book? How many understands that tonight? Now, I'm going somewhere with this. You stay with me, amen. You might not like it, amen. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. You know what Paul is saying right here? You go on down. Let me just read the entire text right quick. Listen to what he said right here. Look right here. He said, some indeed preach Christ of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. One preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing that they might add affliction to my bonds. In other words, Paul is saying there's some out there, they're preaching Christ, and they're hoping to make it a little harder on me while I'm in here. They're hoping that when I hear, amen, that they're out there pulling people off, amen, pulling people away from the truth of God's Word. Listen, he said they're hoping that I'll be saddened by that and that it'll add affliction to my bonds, amen. Let me just say this to you. I tried to put it in a personal way. Your pastor gets locked up. Let's just say that, and it's not so, but let's just say that we had somebody in the church that wanted to promote a doctrine. Let's just throw this one out there. Say somebody in the church wanted to really push hyper-Calvinism. Now, wait a minute now, preacher. Wait a minute. You're down there in the prison and it gets to you. Brother John comes to visit me and says, oh, brother so-and-so's up there. Man, preacher, he ain't preaching it like you did. I'm telling you what's the truth. Now, listen, I'm trying to put this in shoe leather tonight. Amen? I just wonder tonight if I could down there at the prison say, well, glory to God, at least he's preaching Jesus. How many's with me right there? That's what's going on right here, amen. Paul said, hey, some of them are pretenders. Some of them think they're adding affliction to my bonds. He said, but they're preaching Jesus and people are getting saved. And he said, I'm just going to rejoice, amen, that Jesus is being preached. Now listen to me. There's a difference. There's a difference. You see, in a cult, and somebody's preaching Jesus. Now listen to me carefully. There are cults that name the name of Jesus. But when their Jesus is a brother to the devil, that's not the Jesus of the Bible. When their Jesus is not the Son of the living God, virgin born, amen, God incarnate, then that's not the Jesus of the Bible. That's not what I'm talking about. Let me give you an example. Let me give you an example. Let's just suppose there's a Free Will Baptist in town. Listen to me carefully tonight, would you? Paul's saying, listen, I'm not a Free Will Baptist. I'm not a Methodist. But Paul's saying, listen, they're preaching Jesus. And they're preaching that Jesus of the Bible. How many's with me right there? And he's rejoicing in that. I just wonder, I'll go on record as saying, how many independent Baptist preachers in America could rejoice because somebody was telling somebody else about Jesus because they didn't dot all their I's and cross all their T's like they do? How many knows what I'm trying to get across tonight? Amen. Brother Brian, I've never heard you teach it, but what I didn't believe, you taught it right, brother. But what Paul is saying is, hey, if he's up there teaching, telling people about Jesus, maybe he ain't got it right. He's got Jesus right. I'm going to rejoice because he's got Jesus right. He died for my sin according to the Scripture. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. He's coming again for you and for me. I'm going to rejoice in that. I believe there's a lesson to be learned right there. God spoke to my heart. Amen. Lock me up in prison and let me hear that somebody's in this pulpit, amen, that ain't getting it right or ain't getting it all right. How many believe that's going to rub my fur the wrong way? Come on now. How many believe that I'm not going to do like Brother Jack said? I ain't turning the cat around. Amen. Not on that issue. Amen. But here is a word of God that tells us about a man of God that was able. Brother Wayne, you go into them jails. This will help you, brother. You go into them jails, and you know good and well that most of that outfit ain't even carrying the right Bible. Say amen right there. Am I right or am I wrong? But some of them, not all of them, some of them, are presenting the gospel and are preaching and teaching Jesus. Amen. What I'm saying is simply this. There are some churches that you could go through some doctrinal things like the security of the believer. You could go through some things like the baptism of the Spirit. You could go through some things like speaking in tongues. I may have lost somebody right there. But I'll guarantee you there'll be somebody in heaven that's been born again that believed that the believer is supposed to speak in tongues. I will guarantee you there'll be people in heaven that did not believe that the believer was saved eternally the moment that they trust Jesus Christ. How many knows where I'm at tonight? Amen. I will guarantee you that there's some people that are hyper-Calvinists that have genuinely been born again. I'm none of those things. But Paul was able to rejoice. Even when there were preachers trying to get their digs in, trying to stick a knife in him, amen, trying to hurt him, knowing this will get back to him, this will get down there to the jail, somebody will tell him, it'll add affliction to his bonds. I tell you what, when I look at Paul's life, I got a ways to go. He's with me, amen. I got a ways to go. How would you, Brother Brian, like to be down there in the jail, and somebody's got your Sunday school class now just going contrary in a lot of areas, amen, to what you've been standing for here. It'd be a difficult task, wouldn't it, to say, well, I'm just glad they're preaching Jesus, amen. It'd be a difficult task. I tell you tonight, this speaks to my heart, amen. The Apostle Paul is telling us here some of contention and strife. But watch this now. Not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But in verse 17, but the other of love. Some of them are doing it wrong. Listen to me carefully right here. Here's how the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart when I studied this. Some are doing it wrong, and some are doing it right. And all in this crowd right here that Paul's talking about are preaching Christ, are lifting up Christ, amen. All of them are doing that, amen. Some are doing it wrong. Some have the wrong motives. Some are doing it right. Some have the right motives. Let me just say this to you tonight. We just need to be careful that we get to a place in our life. Let me ask you this. I'm just going to make a statement tonight. We're living in a world and in a generation right now where the average Baptist church that believes just like another average Baptist church cannot rejoice in the prosperity of another Baptist church. Let alone somebody that ain't our flavor. Amen. Am I right or am I wrong? Amen. And there's a problem there. Amen. I believe, man, if Christ is being preached and the gospel's being presented and God's a blessing, I'm telling you, we ought to rejoice. We ought to rejoice. You see, I don't know this for a fact. I don't know this for a fact. I'll know everything when I get to heaven. But you think about that. Some indeed of strife, contention, but others of love. Knowing, why are they doing it of love? Because they know Paul ain't going to change. He's set for the defense of the gospel. Amen. He's not going to compromise. He's not going to change regardless of what's going on in there or out there. He's not going to do it. I cannot prove this tonight, but I want to give you a thought. I think one of the keys, Brother Brian, in Paul's life might have been this. He wasn't concentrating on them that was doing it through strife and vainglory. In other words, in our lives, every one of us has positive and every one of us has negative. How many knows what I'm talking about? I can't help but believe the Apostle Paul was he's the one that told us if there's anything lovely, if there's anything pure, to think on these things. So I believe he spent his time. He's saying, I know what's going on out there, but he says, boys, I'm consumed with them that love the Lord, them that love the gospel, them that love the Bible, them that are staying with the truth, those that know that I'm set for the defense of the gospel. He said, I know what's going on, but I believe he was concentrating on the positive. You know, you can take that to church. How many knows in every church you've got things that excel, things that are wonderful, and then you got some things that aren't so wonderful? Did you know one of the keys? You don't ignore that's not so wonderful. But I tell you what, if it consumes you, if there's something bad going on, something negative going on, and it consumes me, I won't be fit to shoot on Sunday morning. Amen? Let alone preach. That's why Paul said the thing. And then the Bible said this, as he thinketh in his heart. I believe that was Solomon. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Amen? So I don't know about you tonight, but I think there's a lesson for us right here in Philippians chapter number 1. Last week we saw they've fallen out rather for the furtherance of the gospel. And tonight we've seen some indeed preach Christ of envy and strife, some also of goodwill. One preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Watch this now and I'm done. What then? Notwithstanding, every way This will blow your mind, whether in pretense. Paul said there's some people out there that are pretenders. But Brother Ralph, he said they're preaching Christ. Let me say this to you tonight. I know this to be a fact. An unsaved man can share a holy Bible with another unsaved man. That's the incorruptible seed, the Word of God, not the man, the Word of God. An unsaved man can share that incorruptible seed. He can share Christ with another unsaved man, and that other unsaved man can get saved. The seed is not the sower. The seed is the seed. Amen? And the seed will endure forever. And I believe tonight that Paul is thanking God. He's rejoicing in God because he knows if Christ is being lifted up. Well, what did Jesus say? He said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, shall draw all men unto me." In verse number 18, "What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice." I got to thinking about this afternoon, and I'm done. I'm winding down right here. Think about this. I believe there are some, I don't know who they are, but I know there are some that are so dogmatic about everything, that their, at least their attitude and their spirit speaks to me like this. I think ours ought to just close the door. We're the only ones getting it right. We're the only ones doing it right. I'm going to tell you, there's a danger in that kind of thinking. There's a danger in that kind of thinking. Bible Way has some wonderful sister churches in Kingsport. And there's some churches in Kingsport that are liberal. You heard what I said. That don't use the right Bible. Amen. But there are some churches in Kingsport. Listen to me carefully. Let me say it like this. They're liberal. They don't use the right Bible. They don't take the right stand on some issues. Help me now. But they're not a cult. How many knows what I just said? But there are some people that name the name of Jesus, and that's all they are, is a cult. Amen. That's all they are, is a cult. Let me give you something. There's a danger in saying stuff like I'm about to say, but I'm saddened in my heart that the Catholic Church is backing up. You say, "Preacher, what difference does it make what the Catholics do?" I'm going to tell you something right now. They're backing up. Mark what I'm about to say. It will hurt the cause of Christ. It will hurt the cause of Christ. Amen. I hope God will stir our hearts tonight. God ought to take this and help us to pray for other churches, pray for other pastors, pray that God would help us to be the church we ought to be. Amen. Yeah. Amen. But we ought to rejoice. We ought to rejoice that we're part of a church that still believes hell's hot, heaven's sweet. Still believes that you must be born again. Still believes that there is no conversion without conviction. You understand what I mean? Still believes that old King James Bible is the inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of the living God. Amen. We ought to just thank God. I believe we ought to get past just being calmly happy right there and jump up and down. Brother Brian, I've heard you over and over and over in your Sunday school class, brother. I hear it on tape most of the time. But I've heard you over and over and over and say, "Listen, folk, churches like this ain't everywhere. You travel. I dare you. You go out there and try to find you one." Amen. They're not everywhere. They're not everywhere. And we're getting in a place where you can't even tell much about a church by the title that's on the sign. It don't mean nothing in a lot of places. Amen. But God said we need to rejoice. When Christ is being preached, we need to rejoice. Amen. Has that helped anybody tonight besides me? That's helped me. Amen. That's helped me. I remember a while back I was standing in a funeral. You want to talk about putting a preacher in the hot seat. And there was a woman got up. Let me tell you something right now. That funeral ain't the time to address that. Somebody help me tonight. Say amen. We was out visiting the other day. Brother Kyle and I were out Saturday evening visiting. And I asked this woman where she went to church. And she said, I go down there where my daughter pastors. What are you laughing at, Brother Arnold? It ain't the time to grab somebody by the collar and shake them and say, bless God, they need to get right. Amen. I'm just telling you, according to what I just read, Paul's saying Christ is being preached, then I'm going to rejoice in that. I'm going to rejoice in that. I remember I was at a wedding. Brother Danny Sykes was in the wedding, and I got to be careful naming all these names, amen, that stuff going out on the internet. But anyway, Brother Danny was in a wedding, and this guy got up and he read out of another Bible. I watched Brother Danny. It was fun watching him, amen. When it was over with, I said, Brother Danny, I said, why didn't you let him use your Bible? He looked out over him glasses. He said he needed it. We get ourselves in some messes sometimes as preachers, amen. But we ought to just rejoice that Christ is being preached, amen. I hope you enjoyed that tonight. God sure used it in my heart and in my life. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight that Christ is being preached. Thank you, Lord, tonight that you're helping us to see truths in the Word of God. Lord, I look forward to Wednesday night and the prayer meeting and the study in the book of Philippians. And I pray you'd continue to lead us. Thank you for these that have come. I pray, Lord, you'll grow us into a better servant of the Lord Jesus. In thy name we pray. Amen.